George Bilburis joins us, head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, I find it a little counterintuitive that you're seeing a lot of rallies in industrials and cyclicals, or other cyclicals like materials and energy, yet the bond market is telling us that recession could be coming. Help me sort that out.
Yes, hello. It's all about predictive indicators. A bond market is a classic leading economic indicator, and obviously the yield curve, etc. And you are right, it is doing a certain signal. But equity markets are also trying to be predictive. And what they're happy with at the moment is that the US Fed is increasing rates at a decreasing level, and other leading economic indicators are suggesting, like prices paid components of the ISM and other PMI prices paid components are turning. Therefore, the headline will be turning. Therefore, call will follow that. Mm. And that's the story for a 24-25 recovery of earnings, because we know earnings will be flat to negative 1 year forward. Valuation's compelling. That's that narrative. Take a step back. The bond market should challenge it. The Socratic method, as it's been around for 2,500 years, keep asking the question. And always, is this a reasonable estimate for future earnings, and where will it land? And then the final point very quickly, on the payrolls number, the last 3 months, it's averaging around about that 290 level versus 400,000 levels from the previous 3 months. So there's a slowdown, even though it's a very, very resilient U.S. Labor market, but it is slowing down versus the pace earlier this year.
What is not slowing down is the dollar strength, and you're saying that's the story of 2022, particularly as it gives pain to Asian markets. I mean, how much further do we see this story continue?
Yeah, so when asked this question, is that the pain will persist for calendar 2022, and while it's a reasonable assumption to say it won't appreciate dollar index in the next year where it's been in the previous year, it will broadly hold this gains. There'll be weakness DXY dollar index like Friday night with risk on. There'll be some reversals on it, and it'll keep playing these ranges, but broadly holding these strengths against yen, euro, yuan, cable, yeah, and Aussie. And commodity currencies are cushioned a little bit. We didn't have the falls of those other economies, but so, notwithstanding, it'll rally accordingly.
So are you saying that the dollar confirms that what you told us about what the bond market was sniffing out versus what the stock market was sniffing out, that the dollar is confirming the bond market's right? Trouble ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. So, most leading indicating of the market is obviously currency, then bond markets, and equities is generally delayed and lagged. And then their excuse would always be, we're looking 3 years out on those earnings environment with compelling valuations.
And discuss how you play the moves that we are seeing in relation to China and sticking with its COVID zero policy. I was talking about oil there retreating, but you remain overweight energy and say that the energy sector still has a lot of strong tailwinds.
Yes, exactly. So we still overweight energy all year, and also financials and healthcare, FYI. The energy, again, is predicated on LNG. It is a key transition fuel. Lots of listed companies, Woodside, Chevron, Exxon, Santos, domestically, all have a big part of that, up to 50% of their portfolio. And it's key for our ESG targets. It's key for COP27. It's key for the transition for the developed world and then the emerging. So it's got tailwinds that are medium to long term, but very strong in the short term. We also prefer US dollar, Southeast Asia, Australia, and very underweight China, the most underweight we've been for 23 years. Again, compelling valuations, but very difficult to see anything predictive going forward on the valuations. But energy prices are going to be still linked to anything on to do with China. Eventually, they'll open up domestic economy. That'll be a very big stimulant, domestic demand. They won't do international travel, but that in itself will be a big driver for energy as well for calendar 23.
You might have heard us mention earlier that Nomura has raised its estimate on the terminal rate all the way up to as high as 5.75%. That is seemingly not factored in. It's just one house. But that would be another 200 basis points of hiking. Is that something that people start to need to prepare for?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but we have a subjective view that's improbable. We think 4.75, 5.25 seems more reasonable. We think that the Fed funds increasing rates at a decreasing level, the next one at 50 basis points. So the 75 last week was good news in that you're closer to the top. Again, there's a more resilient economy in the US. It's a more resilient earnings environment and more resilient labor market, as we discussed previously. But the rest of the world has suffered with that US dollar strength. But we believe increasing Fed funds rate at a decreasing level gives you some look through into 24-25 recovery, and that's what we're looking for. We're trying to look for predictive indicators in credit conditions, yield curves, and earnings outlook, and that's our view at the moment.
So cautiously optimistic the Fed is closer to a peak. What about other central banks, particularly in your region, when we look at the RBA and RBNZ?
Yeah, another good question, but they're clearly were one of the first central banks, RBA, to increase at a decreasing level. They'll get to that 3.25 level, which would be very painful for households in Australia. They'll deliver that demand destruction and looking for the CPI numbers to roll over down under, and that would be a bit of pain yet to come for Australia. But again, the exporters for Australia are still going to be benefiting. It's just domestic demand will suffer a little bit, and then you just look through it and say, is 24 earnings outlook reasonable because compelling valuations, and that's the play. Credit conditions seem reasonable as well, and there's some good offerings there. Still keep duration to that 2-3 year. You don't have to go too long, but there's compelling opportunities at different parts of the capital structure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about where you see the most value on the curve, and I guess you're saying 2-3 years out and some sort of mix between sovereigns and credit. Is that the right mix? How do you design that?
Yeah, you design it with some sovereigns and supras, but when you go to the credit, senior unsecured seems to be more than compelling enough. You don't have to go to the high yield. The deep subordinated high yield effectively is an overgeneralization. It's an equity proxy replacement. You'll be playing in that basket. So we'll play the equity market for the future earnings 3 years out, 2 years out. Senior unsecured, there's a good reliability and look through because credit conditions in this stage of the cycle is quite good. And some supras and a little bit of sovereign there as well. So again, there's a good blend there. And hopefully next year we can go back to traditional asset allocation models, and that is low R squares between fixed income as an asset class and equities. It would be nice to go return to normal.
What is normal? All right, George, thanks so much. George Barbouris, Head of Research at K2 Asset Management, on the line from Melbourne for us here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.